we have a Cloak and Dagger trailer? Is there an Ant-Man and the Wasp trailer? And hey, might we talk Avengers Infinity War spoilers? Yes! This is Marvel Movie News!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Excelsior yes! to you, our merry Marvelites.
We're here.
That
10
was
years
the
in the
longest
making.
Week of our collective spoiler-filled lives.
Yes.
I felt like a leper. I felt like every... you remember in E.T. when they're in those hazmat suits, and anytime anyone would come up to be like, hey, have you seen Infinity War? I just had to be like... I will acknowledge the question, but nothing like, more.
I have no idea what you mean. What is this war that isn't an infinity?
I've heard of it, but now we're here and we're going to talk full spoilers. We're going to deep dive. You are.
Yes.
This is your last. No, we'll warn you many times, but we're warning you. This is it, you guys. We are the Marvel Movie News. We are coming to you live from Titan. This is episode 178. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can find us at Marvel Movie News. You can find us at youtube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. Follow us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN, at The Popcorn Talk, at Facebook at facebook.com/Marvel News. Follow us, like us, and if you retweet a link of the show whilst we're live, and Anthony in the booth will retweet you.
Guys, we made it. I'm alive. You're all alive. We're living a post Thanos snap world, and I cannot wait to see how the Marvel Universe recovers from all this.
So I just Tech-9'd my way through that so we can actually have as much time as we can with the spoilers because we are going to deep dive into the madness. But first, we have an incredible lineup today joining us. How we doing, man? How we doing, Mark?
I'm good. How are you guys? This
so
is super
excited.
Fun.
Introduce yourself to people. A lot of our listeners are podcast people. We do it both ways.
I appreciate the podcast people who go both ways. My name is Mark Bernardin. I'm the co-host of Fat Man on Batman with Kevin Smith. I write for sci-fi. I write television. I am almost writing movies. I'm a journalist. I'm a nerd. And I'm here and I'm happy.
Nice.
And friend of the show, Mr. Ryan Sands.
Hey. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ryan Sands.
The Quiet Storm.
Ooh.
With Ryan Sands.
Also known as
Soft and Warm, The Quiet
yes.
Storm.
Ryan Sands, also known as Jeffrey Wilder from Marvel's Runaways.
And yes, I'm Markia McCarty. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, M-A-R-K-E-I-A, M-C-C-A-R-T-Y, obviously this show and Collider Heroes. And can I just say... Ryan sets the standard for Marvel parents, and Mark strode in like a chocolate colossus when he came.
Thank you very much. Been waiting my entire week for that.
I love this panel because I'm a giant fan of both of these gentlemen's shows, and it is very cool to sit amongst people that I consider like titans of the comic industry to discuss the titan of movies about the comic industry.
We're tiny titans. We can be tiny titans.
I'm very excited to talk spoilers, but first... Our associate producer, where can they find you on the internet, Miss Amy?
Hi, yes, my name is Amy Cassandra Martinez. You can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ, and I am in the chat, so join us.
So yes. We have...
Did you introduce yourself?
Oh, and I, thank you. I was so hyped.
Because I always forget.
I'm the most selfless host. I'm Koi Jandro, at Koijandreau, on this show, on Heroes, on the internet, on Instagram, on my Instagram show, and I... this was the pinnacle of achievement in nerddom, and I'm so glad I have a Marvel show for this week and this show, because good God.
No, oh my goodness.
And we actually have a gift from the world
yes.
of Marvel.
So I noticed in the chat room, people were asking, oh, hey, where's Iron Manos? Oh, hey, where's, such and such and all the toys and everything? Well, that's because Taylor Lambert from Disney has once again sent us a awesome... box full of Infinity
yeah.
War stuff.
Yeah.
So while we're talking Infinity War and facts, I'm going to open this bad boy and I can't help it. I'm going to dump it on the desk.
Yeah, I mean, you do what you got
to
do. Yeah.
So while that is happening, I'm going to read a list of giant record-breaking moments that happened with this one weekend of Infinity War because it's a new story in itself. But to add a visual element and a sound design, we're going to dive into in one weekend... Infinity War is the number 3 movie in the Avengers. In one weekend, it is the 88th all-time domestic. All-time. In one weekend. It is the 88th. That is absurd. That's so much money. It is the number 9 movie of the year already. It is the number 1 worldwide opening of all time. It beat Force Awakens. It did it. It earned it. 18 movies in, I'd say. Number 19. Let's give it that. It is the number 2 foreign opening weekend, number 1 single Saturday and single Sunday, number 2 theater average for wide releases, Force Awakens beat it there. It is number 1 opening weekend, April and spring, and it is the number one PG-13 of all time. There are 67 total records it broke to get to the titan of industry it is, and it's also the fastest movie to 250 million of all time in less than 3 days.
Holy crap, there's so many toys in here! It's awesome! I actually have to take a couple out.
Okay, it's right, happening.
How do you think Ant-Man vs. the Wasp is going to stack up to those records?
Oh my god!
Yeah! Oh, look at
this.
Yes!
Infinite!
Orbius Glaive.
Wow. Like Proxima Midnight.
Thor.
Ooh.
Angel Pirate.
Woo!
Nice.
Wow. Oh, look at him.
Black we Widow. Have Stormbreaker.
Oh, yes. That's cool.
Complete with Groot handle.
Yes.
Ooh.
He's this awesome. Is ooh. Cool. Gorgeous. Oh my god.
I got the Josh Brolin toy.
Yeah. Oh,
Abel?
Yeah, it's from the
There's
from
no
the
Country
Titan
for Old Men toys. Amazing.
Oh man. Yeah, Titan wow. Hero series, Thanos from Avengers Infinity War. This is fantastic. And complete with Infinity Gauntlet. It looks great.
Someone in the live chat said, I guess they don't care about condition. Oh, look ooh, at you. That's awesome. Nice. Bearded Cap's fantastic.
Yeah, but he's a little too colorful. He's got the red, white, and blue still on. It's not oh, Nomad sir.
He's
Cap.
Not Nomad. He's not debadged.
He's not debadged.
Yeah, I like this Captain America, Avengers Infinity War, because this is like, get this man a shield. Oh, he has one. Yeah. He's, right there. Yeah. He's got the Wakanda shield in there.
Thor with Stormbreaker in here.
Ooh.
Got a couple of Iron Mans.
Yeah. Iron Mans.
Fantastic. Oh, okay, and these little guys I'm really excited for, too. Great. We're actually going to open a couple of these bobbleheads. They're mystery ones, so you don't know what you're getting. So feel free to open.
Me neither.
Was it green in the movie? It's a dark, dark green?
Luck of the Irish.
St. Patrick's Day edition, Black Widow?
That's how she made it through. Luck of the Irish. Mm-hmm.
More adorbs. Look, we have Cole Obsidian.
Oh, that's awesome.
The big giant looking guy that you see in Infinity War.
Is it
and
not a
so
testament
adorable here?
To nerd culture that Cole Obsidian has adorbs? Like, how far we've come from, five Spideys. There's a Cole Obsidian toy.
Yeah,
right next
Obsidian.
To Ebony Maw.
Aww.
Also looking adorbs. With a little smile. It's so ridiculous. Kind of looks like E.T. a little bit here for me.
Mystery.
When he was so sick. Yeah,
is
open
it a
the mystery.
I hope it's a ring pop.
Well, can you hand me a mystery?
Yeah. Like, open up the mystery ones. Amy. Nice. Mystery.
Oh, look at the little baby.
Ebony Maw.
Look at the little baby.
You get a little baby.
Oh, that's
nails.
Adorable.
That's amazing.
That's haunting how cute that is. That's
I know.
Love that.
He's checking you out, Mark.
<Be Let's> see here. I'm hoping for a little Black Panther, but let's see what we get. You got a little Black Panther?
You spoke to T'Challa's name and you're here.
I got an Ebony Maw.
Oh, look at
nice. So many Maws. So little time.
Hey, Maw.
Very cool.
Actually playing with toys live.
Yes.
This is what I thought adulthood would be like when I was 11.
But let's go ahead and talk about
get
Infinity
to talking?
War.
Yeah, we can use our hands and mouths simultaneously. So I want to go around the circle and basically things you did like, and then we'll go back around and do things we didn't like, because there's gotta be so much
of both. No movie is perfect.
Yeah,
so.
Things are flawed. For me, to start on the things I did like, I really loved that the movie felt like a giant-size comic. It felt like an annual. It felt like a single issue that you can watch by itself, but you also enjoy more if you've read other issues.
Awesome.
Like, annuals do that thing where if you read the stuff leading up to it, it's more spectacular. And I really think that this movie accomplished, like, the moment it cut to space, to Rubber Band Man, you instantly knew, as a comic fan and movie fan, we were going to see the Guardians before we even saw them, but it didn't feel tone-deaf. It didn't feel tonally inaccurate. And then when you heard the drums of Wakanda, just at the mention of them, all of those things felt on brand to the movie. And I think what the Russos did with framing was they shot like other directors had. Like, the scene where they're fighting in Scotland felt like Winter Soldier. The scenes in space felt like Guardians. And then when they were on Titan, they were able to make it a very Avengers film. And even the Doctor Strange stuff didn't feel like... The fact that Iron Man was on the ground and he's a man of science and the mystic arts was happening above him didn't feel weird. And that's a testament what the Russos have built. So I loved that. And I also appreciated the comedy and the darkness, because that movie was a very tricky tone to land after 18 films. So for me, tone, framing, all that was, as a film fan, whoa. How about yourself, sir?
I agree that the tonal challenge of this movie was vast and huge. Like, how you put 45 some odd characters from disparate universes and disparate stories into the same movie at the same time and have it feel like a single piece.
Yeah.
Is, you know, like when I came out of this movie, it has some problems. No movie is perfect. But the fact that it exists at all, the fact that it operates as entertainment, the fact that it has a cogent storyline, the fact that you can actually trace some emotional sort of through lines through it is remarkable, given the massive job that this movie had to accomplish. Just the fact that it exists is astonishing to me. And that it's enjoyable, and then it's fun, and then it's funny. We'll get to the second round of, like, the, huh? But what? And I've never seen a movie theater get as pin drop quiet as the end of that movie.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I've never seen people who were as just charged, supercharged with storm breaking and Wakandaing and shield punching and rocket holding be suddenly like, huh? You know, and the fact that we all know that these deaths are not permanent. We've all, this is not our first rodeo into superhero stories. It's not our first time in science fiction where death is not the last, it's not the end of any story.
Right.
But we all still felt it. Like, yes. We know the next movie is going to, you know, absolutely reverse some of this. We know there's a Black Panther 2 coming. You can't not have a Black Panther and have a Black Panther 2. We cerebrally know all this stuff, but emotionally, the end of that movie still packs a wallop, and that's something.
I think for me, I'm just echoing what Mark just said. The fact that they pulled this thing off so well, I mean, it was a gargantuan task to bring together all of these movies that were tonally different. They were able to let these characters be who they were in their own movies, who we've been introduced to, who we fell in love with, and to have them all come together, stay true to who they were, but to play a part in this huge story. Just the fact that it exists is incredible. It's an incredible accomplishment. I've said a couple of times, this is probably the fastest 2 hours and 40 minutes I've ever spent.
Mm-hmm.
Just from from moment to moment to planet to spaceship to dimension, wherever. Just, you know, I was along for that ride, and the Russo brothers, like, wow, just all props.
Yeah. I will say with this movie, the nerd validation is real. Mm-hmm. Like, just about everything, all the way up to Eitri. Just that's a thing. That's mainstream now. And that's Peter Dinklage. He's like, oh my god. the thing that really, really got me with this and just kept on like slingshotting me through my emotions was how they were so aptly able to go from victory, yay, haha, we got this, oh, I'm laughing, I'm enjoying myself, to fetal position crying because I just got, you know, punched in my nerd, you know, kind of a thing. And they did this so incredibly well. We're going to go to the other things. Okay, but things that I enjoyed, just about everything. For me, this was such a decadent, layered dessert. Like, it was huge. That's why when I see people that are like, oh, I watch it 4 times, watch it 5 times, I'm like, oh my God, how? because it was so much to me for every nuance. I've seen it 2 times. And with that, I'm glad I did, just because going with different crowds, there were things that you missed, like, because, you know, there's a laugh that happened, kind of a thing. But yes, Mark, with what you were saying with like that silence that happened at the end, when you realize that half of the planet is disappearing into dust, and it's not that your memory is wiped with it. It is that whoever, in my case, Black Panther, and then like Okoye, like reaching, okay, all right, I'm good. Like Okoye reaching for him and then realizing half of the planet just gone, and you remember them. They're still there for you and here, but they're gone completely. And that had me so shocked, like sitting in my seat, that when I looked around and I saw other people like immediately talking to other people, I'm like, how can you talk right now? Half the planet just disappeared.
Yeah, we had a thing in our press screening where we saw it, and Marquis and I were sitting next to each other,
And I noticed her body language and mine. We both, like, were getting lower, like, slouching in our seats. And people started to stand and talk. And we both looked at each other, like, upset. Like, what is wrong with these people?
We're at a funeral, yeah, goddammit. Like,
and these are professionals. So, like, I was like, why am I mad at my peers? Like, you should understand the stakes here. And we both just couldn't hang. And it was so impacting. Like, we were talking right before, like, Spider-Man's death. Like, yeah, that felt like such. And we know Homecoming 2. We know these things.
Yes,
but
we
that was all irrelevant
actual.
In an instant. Yeah. Because his last words are, I'm sorry, sir. Mm. Like, and you're like, the earnesty of Tom Holland is just on display. Yeah. And this was a movie, I keep calling it a movie of third acts. It is a three-act, third-act movie. Mm. This movie only escalates. Like, the first 10 minutes of this movie would be most movies' third act. Like, this movie opens on those stakes, and it just escalates. It is a third act continuously.
This movie opens with killing Newt off-screen. Amy, how did you feel about this in general, Infinity War?
I mean, we can all agree that it was extremely emotional, but it was also something that I think it brought everyone together that maybe didn't really think about watching it together, if that makes sense. So some people were like, oh yeah, I really love Guardians. Some people really love Black Panther, and they weren't necessarily talking about how they liked both of them together. Mm-hmm. So now it's like everyone got to just unite and geek out, which was great. And I was with you, yeah. When the movie ended, I was just kind of like, wait, what? And to have a movie do that, I really appreciate it. And to have it also be something that I'm thinking about days and days after. Yeah. I'm just like, wow. I saw it 3 times. And even the third time, I mean, it was emotionally draining. It's like, why am I doing this to myself? But you were still learning things and still piecing things together. And I think that that's something that makes this film so much better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, those character interactions are for real.
And when the Guardians come through and they think that both sides think they're working for Thanos, because why wouldn't they? And you realize it was that thing for me, like when you have a bunch of friends.
Classic comic, too.
Yeah, And you have a bunch of friends you assume know each other, and you're like, oh, you don't know, blah, blah, blah. And like that happens all the time, especially in LA. That was like that in a movie sense. And I was like, wait, Star-Lord hasn't met. Oh, these are my friends. When it felt like that, it was amazing.
And then you get that epic moment. Where is Gamora?
Who
is Gamora?
Why is Gamora?
Drax killed it.
Yeah. So good. The comedy was next level. Yeah.
Invisible Drax.
Yep. And you could tell the other writers had a chance to write their characters. You could tell that it was very collaborative. You can tell everyone had their fingerprints on this in the best possible way. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the comedy in action, everything was top notch. What were some things we didn't enjoy?
Okay. I felt like Wakanda didn't really get its due. Kind of a thing, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, that's another reason why I stress to people, like, hey, go ahead and spend some time with these characters, don't just jump into this movie, go ahead and see Black Panther to be able to get those levels with it. And then I felt like that with a number of the other characters. I thought that you really did get Doctor Strange, definitely. You got him. I think it was nice to revisit that because then you can get him back when he wasn't the greatest person on Earth. kind of a thing to where he is now, and then get that interaction between him and Tony. But for what kind of stuff, like, there were some questions that people were asking with that. And yes, it is a good question. Where were the war rhinos, for instance? Wouldn't that be kind of the time where it'd be like, hey, we have outriders coming in. You know, send the armored mammals. let's do this.
It's a good thing T'Challa never has to run for re-election, because this would be why you lose. Like, you did what? You invited who? And, oh yeah, no, I get we got you back because Rapture and whatever and magic, but the people who died on that battlefield did it's not like, come back.
Yeah, they don't come back.
No.
They're pre-snap.
Probably. Pre-snap. So.
I don't think anybody pre-snap comes back.
Right.
Yeah. So, which is why I'm very glad that we didn't see an Okoye death on the battlefield, because you know, hey, it's good that they saved my riot until the end of the movie.
But yeah, that's a bad political call, T'Challa. No, I get why you do it. But it's a hard thing to walk back. Oh, I got a lot of you killed for no good reason.
I opened that gate and I confirmed it, and here we are.
Hey guys.
Yeah, it was just a weird move.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Let me one more time. Just make sure.
T'Challa 2022.
Anything else for you? Is that your main?
No. There was just like a couple of, you know, plot holes and kind of offbeat things for me, where it was just like, oh, okay, well, that's mainly why I came back to the point of, let me rewatch things because maybe this is just hitting mm-hmm. a note for me kind of a thing. So actually me going back and seeing Iron Man 1, 2, and 3, it made me appreciate Iron Man and Infinity War even more mm-hmm. kind of a thing. But I'd love to hear
a little bit of what Markia just mentioned. You know, it's at one point intellectually, I understand the task of so many pieces, so many moving pieces, so many characters that some are not going to, you know, have the spotlight on them for very long at all. You know, I was hoping to see a little more from Cap and his crew, you know, where they've been, how things have been going, you know, where'd that star go, you know, just a little bit, you know, but you know, we'll see with the Blu-ray. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of deleted scenes and stuff. But again, you know, I get it. There was something else that I was kind of, you know, like in the fight, I love the way that Thanos was introduced. Like, we got the threat level right off the top. Like, mm-hmm. after we've got a Hulk and everybody, yeah, and then he just picks apart the Hulk.
Yeah.
Man. You know, takes everything that the Hulk's got, and then it's like, okay, chop to the throat, now I'm going for that spleen, and now, you know, and it's just... boom, 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 and Hulk is out. But this guy with that much power at the end kind of, you know, seemed like, all right, you're not using all of that power. I get we got to have these fights, and I wouldn't have liked it if we only got 30 seconds worth of fight. So it's like, you know, intellectually, I know what you've shown me before, and I would like to. You know, I still remember that.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I kind of have a little question, but man, it's like that was a nitpick. You know, I had to think about that.
For me, there's something emotionally vacant about this movie for me in a couple of different ways. The first way is that this is the story of Thanos. This is Thanos's. He's the protagonist of this story. And for the first 40 minutes of the movie, you're like, okay, well, I get it. I mean, I guess we're going to get a little bit of this thing, and we're going to get Thor for a little bit, and we're going to stop in and check on Cap and Vision and Scarlet Witch, but we're not in those lives, really. We're not in those stories. We don't know what they want. We know what Thanos wants. Thanos is the hero of this particular story. And there's a disconnect. There's a distance between you and the characters you came to show up for. Like, I wanted to see an Avengers movie. I didn't want to see a Thanos movie. It takes you a while to get on board with, oh, no, this is a Thanos movie, and I get it. And then they never, for me, built the relationship between Peter Quill and Gamora in such a way that I buy why Peter Quill basically discards the universe out of misappropriated anger at mm-hmm. her death. Because as far as Guardians 1 and 2 tell us, they're not like the great loves of all time. It's not Han Solo and Princess Leia. It's like space booty call. It's, oh, look, she's really cute. Wouldn't that be fun? Yeah, probably would be, but she's a little prickly. Maybe we'll get there. Maybe we won't. It's never like, oh, you're Princess Buttercup, and I'm the Dread Pirate Wesley, and we are fated forever and all time. Mm-hmm. So for him to suddenly like make the choice to, no, I'll kill you because I swear on my mom, which you're not going to do, but you kind of do, but you do it too late, and you ruin everything. And then, we got to be planned. We're going to take down Thanos. And all you got to do is not say anything, Peter. All you got to do is just stand there and be cool. And you can't be cool. And because of you, the snap and everybody's dead. It's kind of on you. And if you don't build the underpinnings of that relationship, of that great love, of the reason why he's so bereft at that moment, that he can't save the universe mm-hmm. or the galaxy, which he guards, according to his business card, then that kind of begins to feel a little hollow for me. Mm-hmm. And so in the same way that like George Lucas doesn't know how human people work, so he can't really build the romance between Anakin and Padme to the point where we realize that that is the linchpin for Darth Vader. If I don't buy that romance, then I don't really buy that turn. If I don't buy the romance between Gamora and Star-Lord, then that boneheaded move doesn't quite hit home for me as hard as I want it to.
That is an excellent point.
You know, that is just kind of where, like, I'm like, oh, no, I mean, this is all fun. And we got, again, 45 characters to serve, and not everybody's going to get time in the sun. But this is so much about Thanos. It's so much about Gamora. It's so much about that relationship and why he feels grief over having to kill her, why Peter feels grief over her having died. if I don't buy that particular triangle, then it doesn't quite support it for me.
I'm going to throw something in your corner, though, Mark, because remember,
okay,
by this point, we had Doctor Strange check out 14,600,000 different endings, mm-hmm, and only one that we win. He has that information, and he does not do anything to stop Peter from doing what he did. So it kind of has to...
Doctor Strange is a little bit of a punk also. I'm just going to say it. He opens all these portals. The movie is constantly sort of foreshadowing the, oh no, what happened? No, that guy put his limb, and then Doctor Strange put a portal and cut his limb off. Hey, all these beasts are coming through this barrier in Wakanda. What happens? They push through the shield, they cut their limbs off. Hey, Doctor Strange, you got a sling ring, right? He's got a gauntlet. What if you just cut his hand off? We're doing it all movie. Just do it now. Nah, man. I saw the one way through. Everybody's got to die first before I maybe cut this dude's hand off. Maybe. I don't know. Hey, Thor, you got this big giant axe. What are you going to do? Maybe cut off the gauntlet? No. No, I'm going to bury it in his chest because that's what I do because I'm metal. Yeah, I get it, man. But maybe save the world a little bit. Nah, because I know better.
So my biggest flaw was akin to both of these. I missed Cap, and you touched on that. You covered pretty much all my problems with that. Was like, Cap's our guy. He's kind of our everyman by the weirdest way possible. Like, he's the most grounded. When Hawkeye's not around, Cap is, which is saying a lot about these characters. So I felt I missed Cap in that backstory. I definitely felt the Gamora presence, like with her singing along in the Benatar, which is the new Guardianship, apparently the Benatar, which is fantastic.
Yeah, that's very cute.
With her singing along in that, that made me endeared to her. And then having the Thanos-Gamora relationship made me understand their relationship, but I hadn't seen anything since Guardians 2. I understand Peter's impulsive, and that's been very clear, but I haven't seen them be fully in love, so I've got every piece but that piece. I've got all of the, like, there's like a connects missing, you know, I've got the arc, but that one thing, so that threw me, because it made me upset at Peter Quill, which wasn't the goal. Like, it made me go, like, this is doing that thing movies do where I have to blame a good guy, and that doesn't feel good without it being earned. And I guess my only other problem was the timing of the reality gym. The reality gym, they show Drax and Palm get slinkied. Mm-hmm. And they show, like, that ability, and then he doesn't use it again. Yeah. So I would have had the reality gym be the last, not the mind gym. I get the stakes with Vision, but, like, it just didn't land for me. Like, you can control reality that time. Yeah. Like, it never got back to the point where I felt the stakes were as high as they were in that scene, so that just kind of... And once again, this is the most nitpicky. I love it.
I've seen this movie 3 times.
Right. I was looking for problems, which is an amazing thing, but the reality gym timing plus the Cap, like, it affected me and the relationship.
Okay, and for the chat room, unfortunately, Matt Key could not get away from work, so we don't have his reaction to Doctor Strange, but go ahead and tweet at him, at Matt Key. He's over at Geek & Sundry, and just, like, be like, hey, post a reaction video for us or something
he's
like
just,
that.
He's
so
just at home wrapped in a cape, in a magic cloak, stroking his goatee.
All right, y'all. Yeah. I do have one too.
What do you got?
Okay, Ant-Man Anthony.
A little problem with it. It was mainly on the technical side. The film was fantastic. Good overall. At the very end, the Hulkbuster scene with Bruce Banner in the Hulkbuster scene looked horrid to me. Like,
oh, you mean the CGI?
Yeah. It was like that group wide shot where he's off in like the back right corner, and you just see his head popped out of like the Hulkbuster suit, like he has a helmet off. Oh, that looks so bad to me.
Yeah, that felt like the one thing. Like, listen, guys, did you just see Doctor Strange do the 8-handed goddess of death thing
with
the 48,000 of these little light blossom things? That's kind of great. All right, we got
that was Sorcerer Supreme.
Yes.
So being that this movie was for me an A, being that this movie is, in my opinion, I think it's the most rewatchable Marvel movie, because I was talking to you guys before the show. I've seen it 3 times, and it wasn't until the 3rd time that I got one of my favorite jokes, because it's so funny, and it's one of those alley-oop jokes. Yeah. When they talk about Kevin Bacon, there's a throwaway line that Thor says where he's like, oh, I haven't been to Earth in a while. Maybe Kevin Bacon's one of the Avengers now. This movie is so layered in jokes that you miss stuff with your audience, and it's infinitely rewatchable because the action's spectacular, comedy's spectacular. I was nitpicky and finding my negatives, and I don't like to land negatives, so I would love to hear everyone's favorite action moment and comedy moment.
I know what my comedy moment is.
So, dive in, comedy and action moment, because I'm a positive fellow and I want to hear more positive.
Oh my god! I couldn't contain myself because it was so perfect and it was so layered for me, because it's like Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 meets just all of the Iron Mans up to this point, where it was like... where Tony Stark asked them, be like, oh, so what is it that you do then? And then Mantis, and, you know, this is the exact quote from the movie. And she goes, kick names, take ass. And Tony Stark's face, he feels so old. And he just looks and he's like, we can't. This is, I can't. Oh, yeah. I can't. It's like that. I just, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was my comedy moment. I couldn't. Second one. I'm just going to say the second one. Hulkbuster running through the Wakanda field. And then he tripping, falling on his faceplate. And Okoye just being like, that side eye.
I am Okoye's withering stare.
Comedy moment for you, Ryan?
Oh, man. I got two that really stand out. If I have to pick one, because I don't want to step on anybody's. If I have to pick one, maybe the at the end when Thor and the crew come to Wakanda, and Thor says, you know, this is my friend, Tree. And then Groot introduces himself as he does. I am Groot, and I'm Steve Rogers. Yeah, I think that was it for me.
That's amazing.
It was beautifully earnest.
I was here for the Thor stuff. I primarily because I don't think it's fair that Hemsworth is also funny. You know, like, you shouldn't be the child of an angel and a pirate if you also have a sense of humor and timing. Mm-hmm. So, like, all of the stuff on the Benatar with Thor just made me smile to no end. And the fact that at this point in our Thor relationship, which we have one, three movies deep, four movies deep with him, six movies deep, however many he's been in. But the barnacling of time with Thor, like, we're getting to see these moments where he is still the sort of the braggadocio, the jock, the dude who's full of himself and happy to wade into battle. But as time has gone on, he's been dragging this weight of time with him, of loss with him, of my brother, my father, my sister, my everything, my world, everything. He's lost everything. But that weird little like line he's balancing between total devastation and black humor is for me so much fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you just see a guy who's living it at all times. And like, what am I in the mood for? I'm in the mood to laugh. All right. Space Rabbit, let's get in this pod. Mm-hmm. And then other times when it's, you know, I've lived for 1,500 years and I've vanquished twice as many enemies, and if this is the last one I do, then I can't ask for much more than that. Like these weird, super black, like, oh right, gallows humor. I like gallows humor on Thor.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I think mine is very similar to your Tony Stark incredulous moment. Like, I really enjoyed, and it's probably my Deadpool fan coming out, but I really liked the pop culture from the 80s that Star-Lord would know. Like, when he called Thanos Grimace, and like, when he, like, I loved that his jokes were just dated enough that, like, oh, this guy's from the 80s. Because for me, that was world building plus jokes that you'd never expect in this movie. So I love the jokes that came out of nowhere. And then, like, the Peter Quill, Peter Parker, like pop culture off that happened by way of their character. Because they would the Footloose joke, like when he knew Footloose, and he was like, "You know Footloose?"
Yeah,
like,
it just lit up.
I understood that reference.
Yeah, like it's what's amazing to me about those jokes in particular. They might be the funniest laugh out loud jokes. It's that the fact that they build their character while being a funny joke. It's the fact that it explodes like that moment. So those for me, an action moment.
It was Hulkbuster running.
Your favorite action moment was Hulkbuster.
That was Hulkbuster running and then planning. It was because like Okoye, oh my god, I like exploded.
My favorite action moment, I think, was after we've lived through so much action. Like I call it a movie of third acts. You don't know where the stakes can get higher. And I was wondering what the inciting incident for the third act would be. And that's my favorite action moment. I love that we've seen and experienced so much that you can't possibly have any more after Doctor Strange, everything. We get to the point where we know the Stormbreaker's coming, and I didn't know Groot was going to be involved. Mm. And the swelling of emotion, and Groot's not been the greatest this movie, so you don't really love him as much as you used to. Mm. And then Groot sacrificed sacrifices an arm, gives it, and we don't see him take the handle. We see him land with the Bifrost. Everyone cheers. Like, yeah. Banner has a moment of, oh, you guys are so screwed. And then an actual Norse god of thunder that has been built up for four movies, even Ragnarok, like we felt him without the axe be the god of thunder, but now is the first time axe plus thunder god, all of that, and then the spiraling, and then the moment he yells out, bring me Thanos! Yeah. Is the, like, it felt like a comic was happening in my brain before my eyes, and I could taste it. Like, that moment was everything for me.
The only thing I was missing from that moment was Immigrant Song.
Yeah.
Like, if you can do Mr. Rubber Band Man to get me Guardians, you can absolutely give me Immigrant Song to give me Thor.
This is my moment! They have, like, wrestling theme songs. Every time Thor's on, he's like...
I have no problem with that. Yeah.
I would Thor would have erupted.
He should do air guitar. Like, that's what that is. Like,
On a Stormbreaker.
That's what it is.
Guitar Stormbreaker. What was your favorite action moment?
I think for me it's the Okoye Scarlet Witch.
Oh, yes.
Yes, Natasha fight. Like that. Nice. I want that movie. I just want women just absolutely just tearing ass throughout the Marvel universe. Why would you not? Like
A-Force right there. Half of A-Force.
Absolutely.
Throw in some singularity and we're good.
Yeah. Just the idea that they have all been at some point in their superhero career underestimated for who they are. Mm-hmm. And together, the three of them, never having even been in the same room, absolutely fall into, we know what we're doing here. We absolutely understand. I know what you do. I know what you do. Why was she up there the whole time? Because she's awesome. Make it like, that was so much fun. Yeah. That was so much fun. I love that beat.
And it was amazing to see their instincts as characters, knowing to, like, it was like a knowing nod to Okoye that she would, like, leverage to that spot. Mm-hmm. Like, seeing them as warriors in a warrior setting, we hadn't seen,
Why was she up there that entire time?
That was great.
You did not tell me she could do that.
Yes, that was amazing.
More withering stare from Okoye.
Yeah. You ran.
Oh, man, for me, the one moment that made me, like, smile the hardest probably lasted, like, 2-3 seconds. And that was in the Battle of Wakanda after the barriers opened, when Cap and T'Challa are running with everybody, and then they just hit another gear and just take off. I mean, it said so much about who they were,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was like 6 years old all over. I was smiling so hard at that moment, and I think the first time I saw it, I missed the shot of the crowd when you just see Cap running through. I don't know how I missed that. But the second time I saw it, just Cap is with him. And he's like, you know what, man, I ain't got time for this. Let's just go.
Who
go
gave him it. The strength of the Black Panther?
Yeah, exactly. So that little moment, again, just said so much about who those characters were.
Absolutely.
And it was amazing.
So we're going to book in the show at the end. We have a lot of questions from you guys. We have some Mary Marvelite stuff about Infinity War. So we will cycle back to Infinity War, but we do want to briefly jump into some news because news did happen this week, regardless of the universe stopping. It carried on elsewhere. I really loved that we all had different, like, this could be a 6-hour show. Like, 2.5-hour movie, we could dive in for 6 hours about our favorite moments because it's that good. And we didn't even talk about Red Skull. We didn't even talk about,
or,
like,
Thanos using the time gem to bring back the Mind Stone.
Or the fact that Beta Ray Bill is referenced by way of hammer, and that means we'll probably get them. There's so much.
There's so much.
That is the beauty of this movie, is it is a rewatchable piece of perfect near perfect entertainment. Mm-hmm. So we're going to dive into some other stuff. We'll cycle back. And as always, tweeting is the best way to join us in this conversation. We love, like, this is a thing I can't wait to talk about with everybody, because this is the next, like, year of my life, or 2 weeks till Deadpool comes out. So we are not alone in loving this movie. Mr. Ryan Reynolds himself, speaking of Deadpool, wrote a congratulatory / I've been denied from the Avengers note, which I thought was the most adorable way to congratulate this film. So on brand. He wrote to Mr. Stark, who was like, no. And I just love the universality of the Marvel comics getting this, and he apparently has some heartburn, so there's a lot of Tums in there. Mm. So if you guys haven't seen that on Instagram, check it out. It says, from a guy who never knows when to quit, I'm glad you guys never did. Congrats, Avengers.
Nice. Yeah.
So good. And then The Rock himself who is the only man that might compete with the Avengers and did with Rampage.
Yeah, we need him in the MCU. And, you know, the DCEU. I want him in everything.
Yeah, Black Adam and Sentry. Someone in Marvel.
Oh my God! Yeah,
every,
right?
Every EU.
I like that.
Yeah. Every EU. Even the freak. Do it in the Rock. Hey. Sexy, sexy.
Ow. The Rock could be Uncle Ben.
Go-go also, reference. Also, nice, Mark.
Also, that movie.
Shout out to DC, DMV.
The real DCEU, right?
Oh,
man.
Nice.
So we also have this very short video of The Rock, who is nothing if not a gentleman. We cue that up.
For that, I just want to take an opportunity to thank everyone around the world one last time for making Rampage the number one movie in the world 2 weeks in a row. Thank you so much. I'm so, so grateful from the bottom of my heart. And like with any great run, it all comes to an end. Because right now, in this moment, on this Friday, right now, I'm getting my ass kicked by the Avengers. It's a hell of an ass kicking. Congratulations, cast, crew, all my buddies. I'm so happy. The movie's doing so well. Dave Bautista, Chris Hemsworth, Karen Gillan, Chris Pratt. Now, the Pratt thing is funny, because all week long, fans have been buzzing about me and Chris Pratt doing something together. I always listen to what the fans want. I have a vision board in my gym, the Iron Paradise. I wrote our names down.
Oh, Rock and Pratt.
Rock and Pratt. Listening to the people.
It's a law firm.
I got an idea.
Steakhouse.
Great.
So I love that
That's
The Rock,
excellent.
One, is always in the gym because he looks like that. So yeah. All of his Instagram videos, not only are they inspiring, but he uses that time to also congratulate this moment happening. I also didn't realize how much I wanted a Pratt Rock film until this moment.
I know, right?
And if you guys follow The Rock, which everyone should because you'll be jacked
just
by association.
Him and Kevin Hart.
Just they're fantastic.
Yeah. No, but I mean like
baby.
That picture.
Oh, the little baby Kevin Hart. You see the reverse Kevin Hart? Kevin Hart posted one with The Rock's head on it.
Yes.
Oh, so yes. Kevin Hart holding his real child with The Rock's giant head. Yeah, that bromance is beautiful. But what I noticed was on that very post, Chris Hemsworth himself jumped on there saying like, hey, where's my invite? And I think this may be the very first film deal done on Instagram in history.
Wow.
I feel like this is going to turn into a thing.
And I like it.
We're in like 2 years, we'll be like, remember that time The Rock posted you wanted to work with Chris Pratt and then Avengers jumped on? Like, this is the world of social media.
With the Humpty Dance as the
soundtrack.
I'm saying, you know, like in a world where at some point Marvel will get Submariner back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Like, if you got it.
I need that. Just have to. But now that you said Century, I just want to see Rock battling like the Void.
Right,
like,
you
battling,
imagine?
Battling the Void.
Like
that'd
the
be
Black
so
Adam
good.
Is like a very similar like back and forth to Shazam.
Yeah.
It'd be cool if you played both the Void and Century.
Oh, wow.
I mean, just spitballing universe. Put it out there. And also
happen.
In the celebration of Avengers, if you guys don't watch Jimmy Kimmel, they do some amazing stuff. They've had all of the Avengers on in separate little pieces because there's so many of them. They did some Family Feud. We probably don't have time for Mean Tweets because of the amount of stuff. But I will tweet this out. It is fantastic. Mean Tweets Avengers Edition is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great continuation of the saga. And we are going to briefly move over to Ant-Man and the Wasp to watch that trailer.
Indeed.
And then discuss it.
Where were Ant-Man and the Wasp? Oh, they kind of answered in the trailer. Not really.
So this trailer just dropped.
But it's a great trailer.
And it is the first time the world has had a chance to breathe after Infinity War, so we're going to see what the other side of the universe looks like.
Where were Ant-Man and the Wasp?
Oh no! Wait, this isn't the trailer. This isn't the
Ant-Anthony. Can we jump on the trailer?
Ant-Anthony, this is the teaser that happened before.
Oh, thanks.
Awesome. But
on a regular show, we'd show both, but this is a spoiler.
Yeah,
Avengers
but unfortunately,
show.
We
did you see
because
that
we won't have time.
There was
for
an Instagram
questions.
Or Twitter or whatever, but it was from Lucasfilm. To Marvel.
Yes.
The passing of the lightsaber baton.
To Iron
really
Man's
sweet.
Hands.
Yeah.
Very classy.
Mm. Signed from Kathleen Kennedy.
Disney now has 9 out of the 10 biggest box office because the mouse is serious. Like, that is an empire in that mouse.
They're literally Thanos, just collecting records. I need one more for this era. I have the Money Stone. It's my last one.
The Money Stone.
Green and huge.
Yeah, it's cubic zirconia.
So, how long have you been Ant-Man again?
Oh, feel free to talk over it. Because we kind of have to.
So, giant man using a car as a scooter, effectively.
You got me with Walton Goggins.
Yeah,
I was here anyway.
Oh, yep.
Almost every time.
And we still don't know Walton Goggins' role.
No,
really.
He's just like, he's on the poster and he's just like, what does he do?
I hope he's just the same guy from Justified. He just rolls into San Francisco. Where's Raylan Gillen?
I love that Wasp does not play.
No.
Not playing with her moves.
And using Michael Pena in the trailer is the move.
Yeah.
That's when his crazy creepy ghost who like walks through walls
and stole your tech. The raw bass remix.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now
she wants to take over the
world or whatever. And it's cool to see the escalation of the Ant-Man corner of the universe, because in the first one it was very much like Paul Rudd Ant-Man movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This to me feels like Ant-Man starring Paul Rudd more so, and the Wasp was so what I wanted the first movie to be, so to have her as the title and in this as much.
Yeah. And I love the sprinklings of Michael Pena in there. He's like, hey, yeah, we robbed you. You remember that? Remember that?
So what's the name of the shrinker in white? What's her name?
Ghost.
Ghost.
Ghost. Ghost. So we all know that that's Michelle Pfeiffer, right?
No. It's some Hannah something Corman.
My theory is that, of course, that's her mom, who's been screwed up by the quantum realm. Why would I go low?
Nice.
And showing how much better the Wasp is at everything.
Yeah.
I love that it's a buddy cop, superhero buddy cop, and it's like, cool.
Yeah.
And the action looks so unique because it's playing with both size and speed and perspective. Like, there's so much you can do with that character.
Totally.
Hey, what'd I miss? We were just tiny.
And of course, it takes two with Ant-Man and the Wasp.
This got a huge smile from me.
Goliath. How big did you get?
Goliath.
21 feet. You?
I love that he's always so happy when he gets
here. So happy.
65.
Paul Rudd is one of the few people that can pull off that. Like, that type of humor with that character. Like, that movie looks like so much fun. I'm actually more excited for Ant-Man and the Wasp than I was for the first Ant-Man, and I was curious about it. But this looks like they just took all the right pieces from the first one, and then, like, a good sequel just... Whoa. Yeah. So, giant-sized it, man.
Yeah, I know. It's cool.
I'm here for, like, the 90s, the early 90s hip-hop being the new trailer music.
Yeah.
Between Don't Call It a Comeback for Deadpool 2
and
It Takes Two. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, this is all for me.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that, like, Deadpool salt and pepper flavor first album. Bringing that we got a Marvel comedy. Well, 90s hip-hop's available.
Some people like it.
Yeah. DMX is relevant again. Let's make that happen. Do we have any more barking rappers we can use?
Where's R. Kelly?
No.
Ja Rule? Nah, probably not.
Back in the closet.
I hope they have some flashback stuff of Lawrence Fishburne as Goliath.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Just one. Yes. I just need one.
And you know what's coming? An actual 90s at Captain Marvel movie. So the music they can put in that is going to be insane.
Tribe Called Quest.
I hope we have everything from Tupac to Nirvana. I want to hear it all, man. Because 1991 was a great year for music.
Oh, of course.
Because Captain Marvel smells like Teen Spirit.
Maybe it's in Seattle. I'm not sure. I don't know what's happening in that grungy 90s movie. And speaking briefly of Spider-Man, Kevin Feige has debunked the rumor about the Black Cat. There was a kind of talk about a casting call that was looking for a foreign female lead that when everyone kind of assumed it was either Silver Sable or Black Cat, and that might be a crossover. He debunked that, saying that wasn't the case, and that I think personally the way they're going to tie in everything is through a Jonah or a side character, and I do think there's going to be someone in Venom that ties everything together. We'll see. But it's a very exciting time to be a nerd because there's a movie coming out like every month or a show or something that all tie in. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a good thing I got a job. The saddest nerd in the world. Like, man, I don't have enough money for tickets and there's another one.
Yeah, it's crazy. Infinity War, I have Movie Pass and you can only use it once. Infinity War is the first thing I'm like, I'll pay for it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, like, I'm just shelling out money and it's fine.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
I spent $100 going to see Infinity War.
Yeah, and I'm not mad. Like, it's crazy.
No, literally, I spent $100.
not very late. I remember the bill.
So, there were 12 movies before that, but I got there.
So we also have the world of television. And in that world of television, this week was a very big Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And we have a surprise for you lovelies. You Marvelites might remember a gentleman by the name of Doom. And he has this for you.
Yes, and it's not just a Doom moment. It also ties into Infinity War.
On brand.
Hey there. Now let's take this off so you can actually... Hey there, Marvelites. Voice of Doom is here with another Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Minute. And oh my god. You guys, you've heard me, if you've listened to any Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Minute or watched the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show on AfterBuzz for any length of time, you've heard me yell about Graviton. They teased it in Season 1 with Dr. Franklin Hall and the Gravitonium and fell in. I've been yelling about it for 4 seasons. When are we going to see Graviton? When are we going to see Graviton? Guys, spoiler alert for last week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we got Graviton. We got Graviton in a big way. If you told me this is how it was going to happen, I would have, like, 6 episodes ago, I would have said, that's insane. Why? But Talbot, played by Adrian Pastar, he stepped into the Gravitonium, chamber, turned it on, infused himself with all the Gravitonium that was left after Ruby. Now, he's out here floating around in Graviton, crushing people with his mind and the force of gravity. It's intense, and next week's looks so insane. They put him in the actual Graviton costume. He looks like he's got a big goatee. He's got a big goatee. I know I'm out of time, but as far as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Infinity War go, Infinity War spoiler alert. There was a quick reference to the movie where they said, "Do you see all this stuff going into New York, coming out of New York?" I don't really watch the news, so. That was a tiny reference to it. It looks like we're going into space after this, so that may be how we get around showing Infinity War within the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. universe, but we'll have to wait and see till next week's episode or till the end of the season to see exactly how or if the end of Infinity War is going to play into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as a show. I think if you're asking my theory, you're going to get Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. leading up to Infinity War by the end of the season, since it's all happening very fast, and then that way we can go into the off-season with the ramifications of the end of the movie and deal with that in the potential Season 6, which has not been announced but is rumored to be a pickup from ABC when they finally have their upfronts. All right. I gotta get out of here. I'm gonna go watch the Ant-Man and the Wasp trailer for the 80th time. Until then, this has been the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Minute with the voice of Doom. Nice.
So thank you, Doom, and anyone that appreciates Zach Wilson's Doom Minutes / Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Minutes, please do send him a tweet because we like getting them. And we're gonna stay with TV and watch what I consider, I love what Cloak & Dagger has done with their marketing campaign. I love that it feels so unique, but also part of a universe we already have. Like, this, it kind of does the corner thing like Daredevil did, where it establishes the Netflix universe, but it feels like it's world building, but it feels like its own thing, and I think Cloak & Dagger is going to really surprise people. This show looks incredible to me. Let's play that trailer.
Hey.
What are you doing here?
I need answers.
Close your eyes. This is the place where anything is possible. So more power.
The Romeo and Juliet God. Vibe, but like actually with superpowers. Like I love they're going into it so hard. Mm-hmm. And in the comics, they're so cool because their powers play into each other, and they showed that in the opening frame of the newest trailer.
Yeah. And then plus the way that this tone is established and everything, I really would enjoy a crossover with Runaways, and not just because Ryan's here.
We were talking about it before the show.
Yeah. Because it's canon that there's everything's basically got a crossover.
Yeah, read the trailer.
Nice.
It's always come down to the divine pairing. It's always true.
And the trailers have done a great job introducing us to not only the characters but their power sets and making you care at the same time, which is really hard to do in 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And just the angles and the palette that they use, it gets you there.
Sorry, can you repeat that last part?
And it's heavy. Like, Cloak & Dagger is a dark comic. Like, Cloak & Dagger, you are weighed down by these characters, and you feel it.
And I really enjoy how they're portraying their power set, like with that dagger, and then with him disappearing just when someone was shooting at him. It's like, oh, God.
And that one shot of the cloak fully, like, the cloak moment is beautiful.
There's also an opportunity for a crossover with Daredevil, given that Daredevil is so much about Catholicism and guilt and church and Bible and all of that stuff.
And then just, like, the tones of it with, like, when he was running down the alleyway and it's like he was about to be shot and it's like he got to disappear. It's like, that's strong.
Yeah.
They even made light dark somehow. Like, the dagger feels dark in her hand. And I really am excited for this world they're building. And I love that Marvel TV is investing so much in the right actors, the right writers, the right characters. It doesn't feel... like TV was trivialized 10 years ago, and now it's the golden age of TV, and Marvel's following suit. They're making really quality TV, including Runaways, which is, I will say again, one of my favorite Marvel properties, period.
Thank you, sir.
So I can't wait for this to grow. I can't wait for season two. I can't wait for all of this. And that brings us to the Mayor Marvelites, I do believe.
Mm. Yes, indeed it does. So we have shout-outs to Geo at Geo underscore was underscore here. Layden Clutch at Clutch M. Layden. Mr. J. Silver at Shadows 1192. Aussie Kangar Sharju at O. Kissed We... Oh, Kiss Tweetin. Matt Jersey at The Matt Jersey. Lauren Blue at Indigo Blue 171. Albert Ritterama at J.A. Ritterama. True Believer 10 at Agent of Marvel 10. The Little Planet Comics at TLP underscore comics. And we had a series of polls and everything that we did. Things like, how many times have you gone and seen this movie this weekend, Marvelites? and for that, if you can make that as big as possible, Aunt Anthony. I don't know.
That's a lot.
I can't read the...
Can you sell Amy from there by chance?
I can't read
which
the...
One, which one are you looking for?
What one?
That would be what emoji?
It says what emoji?
Yeah, what's
no,
the winner?
No, it was how many times have you gone and seen this movie? Oh, well, never mind. Button said 2 times, Tanner Hahn 3, and then 4 times for Mark Hall, and... so on and so forth.
Jeez, Mark.
Yeah, Chris.
You're man.
Came out like yesterday. Right?
at underscore trippy god was going for the 4th time that night when he answered. I don't know how you do it. Okay, so what emoji were you after seeing hashtag Avengers Infinity War, which was probably the first one that you had up?
I think I might have dropped that one back.
Okay.
42% of people crying emoji.
Okay, cool. Okay, and then... this is one that I tweeted out. Says, so we've been through war, my Infinity War peeps. First off, you okay? and I kind of remember the...
Yeah, it says 16, yeah, sob, I'm okay. 47% are...
Straight. No, can you do it from the smallest and then up to the biggest?
Okay, yeah, so, yeah.
Or part, make this bigger for me.
All right, here you go.
Okay, so 17% was all good. I'm seeing it tonight because they don't know any better. And then 16% was, yes, I'm good. And then 20%, oh my God, yes, feed me more. And then, and here's where I was, 47% just shook.
Yeah, that's fair.
Completely shook. That's great. And then one last poll that we had up was, okay, so Infinity War weekend is over. So for real, how many people you tell spoilers to? How many? And then we had 8% or Thanos level. Half of everybody they knew. 2% was like, oh, well, prob a lot, my bad. And then you had 14%, a few, but they wanted to know. And then, of course, and this was where I was, is I think that says 79%, zero, just like Doctor Strange. Yep. That is exactly what he did. So for, do we have any questions?
Yep, we got some questions. I had a couple. Would you guys ever consider doing a ranking of the MCU in your show? I know you have to get through all the news, but I think that would be awesome. This week, nigh impossible. Plus, I have a thing. I need to see a movie a lot and then give it time because there's that like shock and awe of shiny objects. Anytime you see something new, you're like, best yet! So I want to give it some time to marinate, which is also why they didn't give the Avengers 4 title, which I am still in love with. I'm so glad they're giving us time to digest the death of our childhoods before they tell us what the next thing is. So next week, maybe, we'll do a ranking. We'll make that part of the show. We'll go through them all. 19 movies to rank is a whole thing. We're going to take our time.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, and there's a lot of A's, so I got to figure out which A I like more than the other A. And then Max Heron asked... Oops, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, like, maybe because we're almost on time, then maybe skip to the last one.
Sure. Go ahead. I don't have it.
Best 3 MCU films to rewatch and prep. And everybody could like throw their hat in the ring with that one.
Well, that's good idea.
Yeah, this is from Emily Shuck at Emily Shuck.
Well, you need Civil War, right? Mm-hmm. You need Avengers, first one. You got to enter the Tesseract.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then.
Guardians,
maybe Doctor Strange.
Or Guardians.
I
think any Guardians. You need the whole Thanos threat. You need Gamora. Yeah, you need Peter Quill. You need.
There's a lot of Guardians in this movie, and space as a setting would feel alien. So I'd say Guardians. I'd almost say Winter Soldier just because of Bucky. And like, the so just 18 movies.
Yeah, he's like an argument.
Listen, like, I mean, Iron Man 3 is not really, really crucial, yeah, but it's so much fun.
But in Thor Dark World. Yeah.
The ether, which yeah, they it's there. Refer to again.
I think definitely Thor Ragnarok has to be one, just so that you get the impact of having Thanos, you know, and you care for those people, yeah, that like just died. Like, I feel like that should be one.
I would almost watch Ragnarok afterwards. Like, you need a palate cleanser. Yeah. You need like a pick-me-up.
Or Homecoming afterwards.
Homecoming.
Watch Homecoming so you remember why Spidey dying was so crushing. What?
This is so much fun.
Spider-Man's important to the world, too. Like, I'd say 10. There's probably, like, half. You need to watch half before. Jesus. Is there any other questions we should go over? Any other moments we want to talk about Infinity War?
Yeah. I mean, go ahead with Max's, because I just thought we might have been talking about that one a little longer.
I feel
longer.
Like we all agree there's so much.
Really is so much.
Just watch them all.
And Max Heron wants to know.
Just watch them all.
In whatever order you like.
Oh, my gosh.
Max Heron wants to know if we can start a support group or something. I was describing the one scene, you know the one, to my sister and started bawling. What I've enjoyed the most about this movie is seeing the fallout of people leaving the theater. We talked about the silence in the theater,
yes,
but there's this beautiful darkness that washes over someone's eyes that's seen it when you ask them what they thought. Like, oh, you see Infinity War? Like, there's just this profound moment of sorrow. Yeah.
And I've been in the war. I know. The 1,000-yard stare of just emotional destruction.
Yeah, because it's affecting you. Like, Infinity War did what it set out to do, and that's saying a lot. And
really did.
Before we wrap, do you guys have any more Infinity War moments you want to discuss before we dive out?
Amy, Anthony, feel free to chime in on this.
Okay, yeah. Spidey at the end.
Oh.
Mr. Stark.
I'm right there with you.
I don't want to go.
Just thinking about it. It really hurts, but it was so good.
I teared up. Yeah, that was possibly my favorite moment of the whole movie. Just that part, because it hit me on such a personal level, and I actually like felt tears coming on. And I think it had the most emotional like gravitas throughout the whole film. Was that scene for me in particular? Because I'm so like I love Spider-Man. I grew up with Spider-Man, and seeing him and Tom Holland just. Phenomenal actor, and just like how he's like, I feel strange, and like that stuttering in his voice and everything was so powerful to me. It was really beautiful, yeah.
Especially when it opens and the movie opens the first time you see Tony Stark, he's talking about wanting a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, all of that is like, I had this dream, it was so real, and you were pregnant. Let's have a family. Let's make a kid. Let's do a thing. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, but you still want to be a hero. You want to go off and fly and save the galaxy. He's like, no, but maybe we can do both. No, Tony Stark, you can't do both.
And then they worked in a Batman joke, the war joke. Yeah, I loved the war. I was like, how did they fit a Batman joke in canon and make this work? I wanted to say that we also never nothing felt out of character for these characters.
No,
I really appreciate that they didn't do anything to drive the narrative that didn't feel out of character. The closest thing we had was Quill, but that even wasn't out of character because he's so impulsive.
Yeah, he's immature like that. Yeah. That would be, he wouldn't be able to control his emotions. It fits with his character.
So I love that they were able to have the 30 characters in this all be on brand, and even the Doctor Strange moment, which a lot of people are mad at when Doctor Strange sacrificed, I feel like that was just telling of the only scenario he saw winning was with Iron Man alive. When he said, this is the end game now, to me, that just means in Avengers 4, Iron Man has to be alive to get there, so he knows that he has to sacrifice himself, because he's got to see himself going out like what?
Yeah, something happens where Tony had to be alive for that to happen, and that is the only way that anything works out. It's like something somewhere.
Iron Manos.
What beautiful writing, like to have that, to sacrifice yourself and to love that character. And I like Doctor Strange more in this than I did in his movie.
Yeah, me too. Oh yeah, yeah. He wasn't such a not the greatest person in the world.
No, but he's the only one who could call Tony a douchebag. And so I kind of love that.
Facial hair grows. When they were like standing side by side, I was like, God, somebody's got to call it out. Spider-Man, come on, somebody. So yeah, I mean, I wouldn't change anything about the movie except maybe a little more Gamora, Peter, like a scene, and maybe that's in our 8-hour cut, which I hope we get.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more fleshing out of Wakanda.
I'd love some more Cap. Mad props to Josh Brolin, and the motion capture, like all of that emotion on Thanos' face. I mean, throughout the movie, we got this villain who. I don't even remember him raising his voice, like really, you know, but was just set the tone from the first scene. And I mean, he's just out here playing with people's emotions, man. I mean, you know, like from the end of Ragnarok, all these people make it. They made it. oh, and here's Thanos, and let me just kill them all, basically, kill half of them. And, and you know, with Scarlet Witch, you're going to have to, you're going to have to save Vision, not save him, you're going to have to kill Vision, and I'm going to make you go through that, and let's just undo it, and I'm going to kill him again.
Oh, in front of you.
And just Peter Quill, I'm going to make you shoot Gamora. And bubbles.
I'm wondering if there's some point later on where we get the Scarlet Witch, the No More Heroes.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh.
So I've always wondered if we can get the opposite. Heroes? I've always wondered if she mentions mutants, and that brings us into the fold. She does the anti-house of them. She does the M of House. Yeah. She so says
need more here.
And then X genes activate all over the planet.
Because we don't have time. Okay, so with Guardians Volume 3, and we know that we have Warlock there, so I'm thinking we have to have him part of the spirit world already and somehow gets a hold of the Soul Stone, and that's how he brings back Gamora, and I think she's completely going to be dead for Avengers 4. Mm. Like, that's still going to be something that's... gonna have, well, she might as well be, because it's like Peter isn't there, so
right.
I feel like Shuri brings us Vision back. I think Shuri can fix Vision enough that he comes
she
back
has him, like, you
monochrome.
Know what?
Yeah,
just like I think she's got him saved in that, like, database somehow.
Oh, interesting.
You know, because but she fixed. Seems like the type that have auto save.
She control S's all the time. She's always ready with that control S.
Undo.
Just going through. Yeah. So we can talk about this forever, and we'll be. We'll talk about it next week. Where can they find you guys on the internet so they can find you to talk about it?
I am on the Twitters and the Instagrams at Mark Bernardin, MarcBernardin, and, you know, just haunting food courts near you.
Ryan?
I'm not at the food court, but on Instagram.
Yeah, man, the Cinnabons.
And Twitter.
Ooh, that's the devil's food.
You got to be on TV, though. I don't got to.
Yeah, that's not cool. I want some pancakes so bad right now. I honestly do. Instagram, Twitter, at the Ryan Sands.
Yeah, and once again, I want to thank Taylor Lambert from Disney for sending us all of this awesome Infinity War swag and these, like, little mystery models. We've got a trio of ebony moths. I love that. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Markeia McCarty, MarkeiaMcCarty. I just did an Avengers RPG with Hyper RPG, and that was just a fun time. Anybody can come in, but we're going to do a serious one tonight. So if you want to go to twitch.tv/HyperRPG at 6 p.m. tonight, we will be doing our rendition of New Avengers Breakout. So it's basically MCU version of who was in the raft.
Great.
So for instance, I'm Scarlet Witch. Sans Russian accent, because she doesn't have it anymore. So whatever.
I think she went that way too.
I think
like a month in Scotland just wipes everything clean.
So we're going to explore what happens between Civil War and Infinity War. So enjoy.
Miss Amy?
You guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ, also on Geek Bomb Stuff. There's a lot of cool things coming out.
And you can find me at Coijandro, at Coijandreau, here on Heroes, on Twitter, on Instagram, and this movie has affected my life, and I love how much it's affected yours. Thank you so much for talking about it with us. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.